The content of this program is meant for educational purposes only, because knowledge is power. However, the controversial subject matter discussed may not necessarily reflect the views of this station, its management, staff, or its advertisers. The Power Hour has been in existence since the turn of the 21st century. The need for independent media is more critical than ever as people search for the truth. For the past 20 years, the Power Hour has focused on subjects which inform and educate about the real challenges we face as a nation. Join us as we discuss the Constitution, current events, and natural health solutions with the best experts on radio. Learn from some of the most insightful commentators you'll find in talk radio. Stay informed, stay engaged, and join the conversation.
And welcome to the Power Hour. This is Donald Jeffries here with you, guest hosting today for Dave Krieger. Very honored to be asked to do this. I don't know how many of you are familiar with me, but I'm the author of 10 books. You might have heard of Hidden History, Survival of the Richest, Bullyocracy, Masking the Truth. My newest one is coming out in August, American Memory Hole, How the Court Historians Promote Disinformation. I also write quite a bit at Substack. Donald Jeffries at Substack.com. It's under iProtest, which is all, that's the name of my weekly podcast as well, which airs on Rockfin and my YouTube channel when it's not suspended, which it was last week, every Friday from 5 to 7 p.m. Eastern. So excited to be doing this, especially excited about taking phone calls from you all. I've been guests on here several times. I'm on every first Monday of every month, so people, I hope you're familiar with me. But we're opening up the lines right away. So I'm going to have a guest coming on in a bit, R.B. Ham. But as might be expected, we're primarily going to be talking about the event that happened Saturday, the shooting of Donald Trump and the attempted assassination. And I have a lot to say about it. I think there's a lot of questions about it. And I'm going to put my Substack up on the screen in a minute. I just wrote yesterday, the Trump shooting, so many questions, where there's just lots of stuff to analyze with it. And R.B. Ham, who's in Canada, and he hosts Behind the Pale podcast out there. He's done a lot of work as well on this already. He was interested. So we're going to be discussing this case and hopefully getting a lot of input from you guys. The number to call is 844-769-2944. Again, 844-769-2944. Love hearing from people. Anybody knows my old TFR show back in the day? I love taking phone calls, and we don't really have the capacity to do that on my present podcast. So this is a treat for me. Love hearing from people. So let's start with what we know and what we don't know. And this is a problem with all these. And for people that don't know, my wheelhouse issue is the JFK assassination. I got started down these rabbit holes as a teenager in the mid-1970s. When I became pretty much obsessed with the JFK assassination, and I worked as a teenage volunteer for Mark Lane, who was the most famous critic of the Warren Report, Rush to Judgment. He was a high-profile guy. Back then, people like him could get on some television shows, lots of radio shows. He spoke at lots of college campuses before cancel culture kicked in, and he was my hero and mentor. And I became a civil libertarian. I had a lot to do with him, and I'm still a civil libertarian. And there aren't many of us left, but basically civil libertarians are free speech purists, and we believe in defending civil liberties at all costs, and we believe in the rights of everyone, that everyone has equal rights, everyone has civil liberties, and you defend free speech even if you disagree with it. Now, as you can see today in America, there probably aren't very many people that fit that category, especially on the left. They absolutely do not believe in free speech. So having got down the road on the JFK assassination, this was, the Trump assassination attempt was a pretty natural thing for me to tackle. And as it happened, people were texting me left and right, calling me, and I got lots of people sending me information and asking me what I think. And so I had to put together a Substack pretty much right away. yesterday, so we're going to look a little at that and examine some of the anomalies, because, again, on the surface, an attempted assassination on Donald Trump is not surprising, because considering the way he has been hated and despised and treated by the pretty much every part of the establishment since he entered the political scene in 2016, this was something that, you know, I think a lot of us expected it before this. However, on the other hand, you know, there's a lot of complexity here. And people who are familiar with me know that I'm the one that coined the term the Trumpenstein Project. And as far as Trump, I'm a Trump agnostic. And there are very, very few of us. We're one of the smallest minority groups in the world. So I don't look at him the way almost everybody else does. I don't hate or love him. And so because of this, I'm and of course, I'm naturally skeptical about any of this stuff. I'm going to question the narrative always, especially when it's a shooting, because and I'm no expert on shooting, but I have studied the JFK assassination alone. So I know a little bit about the subject matter. And there's a great deal to question in the alleged attempt on Donald Trump on Saturday. So, and I saw there was a caller up there. Seems to have disappeared. Todd, where do I see that caller? He was there briefly, and there he is. Okay. Okay, so we have Dustin in Michigan. You're on the air.
Good morning. Yeah, I had a thought while I was reviewing a bunch of these different videos and viewpoints from the events on Saturday. And it occurred to me that from experience that I've had in my own life in the past, that in an open carry event, something like what happened would not have happened. It's highly unlikely. And the reason I say that is we're relying on administrative state supremacists appointing people who are unqualified to do the protection, apparently. And so in an open carry environment, I had the experience of going to a cafe in Texas one day. And a nice hot day, you know, I just decided to pull off the road and stop at this place I was down there visiting. And some idiot ran into the place with the gun, waving it around, and within a second, he had 30 guns pointing at his head. He was immediately disarmed, and, you know, the rest of our day went on merrily. And it really changed my opinion of the open carry, or, you know, carrying guns all the time. Before that, I kind of fell into the, whatever, you know. But so what are your thoughts on the on that open carry?
Well, I certainly, I'm a strong supporter of the Bill of Rights. So I strongly support the Second Amendment. So I'm in favor of it. But I'm no expert on it. You can probably tell me, does open carry cover a rifle? Because this guy was openly brandishing a rifle, and lots of witnesses saw him. Is it just a handgun, or can you openly carry a rifle?
Sure, you can open carry a rifle. You can open carry a shotgun. There are some local restrictions. Like, I'm in Michigan, and you can't even deer hunt below a certain geographical area in our state unless it's a shotgun. So, I mean, there are some local restrictions, but that's kind of up in the air when you hold it up to the light of shall not be infringed. I fail to see where they can overcome that easily with these kind of restrictions.
Yeah, no, and I generally speaking, I said, I'm a purist on the Bill of Rights, and so I would think it, and I guess we'll talk a lot about, you know, the very dubious protection that was at this event, but I would think at a political event, maybe even more so than ever because of a candidate like Trump, who, you know, so many people hate, and has been, you know, the rumors about assassination attempts on him from everybody since he entered politics. Wouldn't they? I mean, can you, even in an open carry, can you bring a weapon into a political event like that? I mean, Virginia's and I believe open carry state that I live in, but they're not going to, when I go to concerts or something, they're going to pat you down, and they're not going to let you bring
a weapon. Yeah, that's an absolutist and kind of a what-if scenario. But just from my experience at that cafe down in Texas, it really woke me up. And it's like, wow, you know, after that event was done, I felt safer than I ever had felt in my life. It's like, wow, that's amazing.
Yeah, and that's, and you're right. And I've never been, again, I was a lefty, for people that haven't heard me describe it. I was a member of the ACLU as a teenager in my early 20s. And I believe the Democrats were the good guys. Of course, I was a Kennedy fanboy. That's what led me to that. And I thought the Republicans were the bad guys. And, you know, I was for prison reform and drug legalization and all that stuff back then. And certainly a free speech purist. But so somebody told me back then, you know, teachers carry guns or everybody's carry guns. I was like, what are you talking about? We have too many guns as it is. But you make a point, especially when you have the kind of law enforcement we have. And I'm very skeptical of law enforcement's ability to stop anything or do the right thing many of the time. So if someone can protect himself, then certainly they should do it. I don't know what would have happened, you know, when the witnesses were trying to alert the police to no avail. That, hey, this guy's scaling up the wall here with a gun. I don't know how you missed that. I mean, if you're Secret Service, whatever, what exactly are you looking for that would be more eye-opening than that? Oh, there's somebody scaling a wall to a rooftop with a right. I mean, this is why people question. That's the single most reason why everyone is questioning this, because there are tons of witnesses that said that. They said they alerted the police. Now, if someone had a gun there and had been allowed to bring it in and shot the guy dead, I don't know. I'm not sure what would have happened to him, because
I don't think it even would have gotten to that, because if he knew it was an open carry event, he knew darn well he couldn't get up on the roof with something like that. So I'm really opposed to these soft target zones. I don't know. I'd be happier to know that there are people in the schools that are completely armed and can protect kids from these soft target things, and having it known that that's in effect, it's kind of like a junkyard dog. You know, you don't go in and steal parts at night at the junkyard because you know that the dog's going to eat your butt. Same kind of thing.
Well, and certainly, I wrote a book, Bullyocracy, about the inability, the absolute inability and unwillingness of schools to do something about bullying. And it's the same kind of thing with school shootings. You've got police presence in schools all over the country. You've had it for years. You have armed police in these schools, and somehow you can't stop bullying, let alone school shootings. So I would not be you know, in favor of something like that, but I can't argue with you. Well, I appreciate the call. I think we have another call coming on there. Thanks so much. Okay, I saw a caller. Can you bring that up on screen again? Brady in Arizona, you're on the air.
Yeah, good morning, Don. I was going to say a couple things in regarding that shooting. There was people on the ground that had alerted also the cops on the ground that there was a shooter on the roof for 3 or 4 minutes.
Yes.
They then took a cop and put him directly below the ladder. He crawled up the ladder, went up on top of the roof, and the shooter said, if you don't get down, I'm going to blow your head off. So the cop went back down, hung out for a few minutes, and you had a witness there for 3 minutes going, why is Donald Trump not being alerted that there's a shooter on the roof? Okay.
Yes.
You got people that are protecting Donald Trump that are hired by Alejandra Mayorkas and Homeland Security. This is a staged event. This is what the Democrats will do at their last attempt to get rid of Trump. This is what they will go through, and they came within 1 inch of having a former president's brain splattered all over the crowd. That's how close they were. If Trump did not turn his head at the last second to look at the chart on immigration, he said he turned his head, he would be dead right now. That was a direct kill shot. That guy was probably like trained by the CIA or FBI beforehand, like all these shooters have been. You're telling me a young kid, 20 years old, knows how to use an AR at 150 yards and put a dead center shot on a president. You got people on a roof 100 yards away, direct line of fire. They're watching this guy on the roof.
Yes.
Okay, enough with the BS, enough saying that I'm proud of the people that protected the president. No, that's not what happened. There was nobody there protecting the president.
Absolutely.
It was 100% coup, trying to assassinate a former president so he will not be reelected. Let's not mince words. This is where we're at today.
Well, no, I understand what you're saying, but if that was the motive, then it appears to have backfired on them, because I would think this is going to create something of martyrhood for Trump. And it looks like I would imagine his poll numbers will go up significantly after this. I don't know, because I don't really necessarily trust the poll numbers, but and the criticism is going to have to be toned down. You still got a few people doing it, but and a few people, you know, trying to blame him because of his rhetoric and whatever. And however you look at it, you know, you said again, I just ask questions, and I think there's a lot of questions to be asked here. But certainly, if you're the Secret Service and you're and they, I'll be showing it when I put some of these pictures up on screen here. But there's you can see there's the police presence on a rooftop, and like people pointed out, okay, they're on this rooftop. Why weren't police on the roof where this guy climbed up to? There was no police presence there, and the people on that other roof, they didn't see the guy climbing up with a gun and know that, hey, well, this isn't one of us. I mean, this makes no sense. And again, it goes back to my study of the JFK case, that the Secret Service stood down that day as well. And so there are tons and tons of questions, but I thank you for the call. We got another call from Phil in Florida. Go ahead, Phil.
Hey, good morning, Don. And I really appreciate the piece you wrote on this, the Trump shooting, so many questions, assassination attempt or false flag. And I can't help but look at the photo you have on the first page of the, you know, Trump with the fist in the air, the flag in the back, and the the female Secret Service leaning forward to make sure it's a great photo op. And I look at the two Secret Service guys, and all I could think of those guys in the Matrix. And and I also believe, from what I've been seeing on the net and listening to the callers, that we're all talking about what it seems like the powers that be would want us to be talking about. I'd like to pose the idea to consider that Trump did not have a bullet go through his ear. You know, just consider that. And, you know, I go back to I immediately, this all gives me the same vibes. You know, I just go right back to Sandy Hook. You know, Carlos, the cowboy hat hero the Boston Marathon, you know, wheeling a guy upright who just had his legs, not on a gurney, mind you. Yes. You know, he's in a wheelchair with a cowboy hat guy hero wheeling him. What a photo op that was, you know, no blood coming out of his legs. You know, and I just watched the video of how these Secret Service people responded. You know, I'm not even considering the snipers or the shooters. I'm just looking at Trump and the so-called security, and just, I mean, they just look like a poor B movie. You know, they don't look anything like hardened Secret Service special ops kind of guys to me at all. And how they danced around the Trump mobile, you know, to get them in the vehicle and out. And look at the, you know, where's the pouring blood onto his collar and his shirt? And again, I'm just saying to consider this, not
absolutely,
not like this is, you know, just consider it. Look at the shirt. Look at Trump. Look at how they're propping him up in front of the flag with the fist pump. You know, just a minute. after he took shots, supposedly he took shots from, you know, and what is everybody talking about? The shooter, the sniper, and everything. It's like we're all looking at what we're being told to look at, you know. But anyway, I asked the listeners to go back and look at the videos of Trump himself and the reaction. Forget the shooters, you know, and look at the still shots and see what your eyes tell you. See what your own eyes tell you. So thanks, Don. Appreciate
it. Great points. Great points, Phil. I appreciate it, sir. Yeah, I appreciate it. Before I go to the next caller, I'm going to bring this up here. Hold on a second. Hopefully this will work. Okay. All right, this is my piece. Again, this is the Trump shooting, so many questions, and you can find it on my iProtest Substack, Donald Jeffries at substack.com. Getting lots of good attention. You can see here I start, and one of the questions, again, this is the iconic photo, and lots to see in this photo. Now, what you're seeing here is, I don't know what the Secret Service and the agent in the back is doing, who he's hugging. I don't even know what's going on there, back there. What is this guy doing? I don't know. And then you had the DEI hire who, Jason Whitlock, you know, 340 million people. And this is who you had. And she, if you look later, I don't have it on here, but she was overtly concerned with getting his MAGA hat. She picked it up a couple times. So, I mean, as if the hat can't be replaced. I don't know. But lots of problems with this photo. Now, what Donald Trump, again, is obviously and apparently an amazing physical specimen. He's 78 years old. Not as overweight as they say, especially for today's America. I think he's recently lost some weight, but apparently in great shape because he bounced right up from this. But the problem is the Secret Service is trained to cover him and whisk him out of there and completely protect him and get medical attention as quickly as possible. Instead, they basically lift him up so he can do this iconic photo with the American flag strategically placed where it is for what it's worth. That flag is in a perfect place for this iconic photo. And I likened it to it has an Iwo Jima feel to it, or even a Braveheart feel to it. But what they're doing here is they're lifting him up and his front is completely unprotected. They're lifting him up and making him a better target than he was when he was speaking because he doesn't have a lectern in front of him. And they're leaving him wide open to any other shots. Now, they don't know. I don't think they knew the so-called assassin was dead yet. How did they know at that point there weren't other shooters? Lots of witnesses early on said shots were coming from different directions. So what are they doing here? What does this photo mean? And he continued to, like, walk and pump his fist. This is, you know, this is Lee Harvey Oswald type stuff. You know, I thought back instantly to when Oswald was shot in the basement of the Dallas jail. They had over 70 officers there. And they left his front completely open so Jack Ruby could trot up and, shoot him without anybody reacting at all. These guys, is exactly right. They don't remind me of Secret Service agents. They're not doing anything. And again, I draw your attention to this guy back here. What is he doing? I don't know. Is he hugging another agent? What is he doing? So somebody should be in front of Trump. He should be. His head should be pushed down because he's a tall guy, and he should not be a sitting duck like that. So I don't understand what's happening here. But when you combine that with the fact the Secret Service allowed someone to go on the roof, you know, and did nothing about it, then I don't know what else you can say. So we'll come back to that. But we have Felix in California. Caller.
Donald?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, I have a question. How does the assassination attempt on Trump relate or connect with your Trumpenstein project theory?
Well, yeah, that's a good question. And I'm looking at it the way I'm looking at it because of the fact that I have what I call the Trumpenstein Project. Basically, for those of you who don't know, the Trumpenstein Project is a phrase I coined. I've heard other people talk about it. So maybe they either read me or they independently thought of it. I don't know. Or they're not attributing credit to me. But and it's because it's a play on Frankenstein because I think Trump has basically been an actor. and he was inserted into the world of politics in 2016. He took the world by storm. He excited people like me. I had never heard rhetoric like that before. It was revolutionary rhetoric, and he was saying some of the stuff I'd been saying over the years. I never thought I'd ever hear a candidate say that. And he encountered such hostility from every part of the establishment. Every powerful part of this corrupt society was totally against him. So, but you know, as soon as he got in office, I began to look at what is he doing? He picks Mike Pence as his vice president. It was a horrible choice and was nowhere near any kind of a MAGA person. Didn't believe anything he was saying. He filled his administration with never Trumpers. Nikki Haley, who was a UN ambassador, John Bolton, Gina Haspel, who was a, you know, enthusiastic endorser of torture as a CIA director, William Barr as the second attorney general, lifelong member of the Bush crime family. So what I've said about it is that basically he's like all Goldstein was, Emmanuel Goldstein in Orwell's 1984, the opposition leader who the people who oppose Big Brother in secret and trust, you know, all their hope with. And it turns out, of course, to be fake. And the people who love Big Brother, they unleash the 2-minute hate every day on it. Now, Trump has a 24/7 hate every day. And I've never seen anything like it. I say if Hitler came back today and ran as a Democratic Party nominee, virtually everyone with Trump derangement syndrome, which is a very real thing, would vote for Hitler. There's no question about it. Trump is in a category of his own. People have lost all reason with this guy. And as I say, millions of people hate him for things he never did. And millions of people love him for things that he never did. The bottom line is he just tweeted a lot. I called him the tweeter in chief, and he said a lot of things and threatened to do a lot of things. And that's what he did. There's a caller, Chance, if you can hold on, because we only have 2 minutes till break. I'm going to give you time to talk. So so hang on to the break. But so basically, that's what the Trump It's Night Project is. And people who don't understand it, and somebody like me, again, I would love if whenever Trump did anything good, which wasn't very often because he didn't do much of anything in office. He didn't do much bad either. But I was there to cheer him and give him credit. The summit with Putin was a good thing. Diplomacy is always a good thing. And getting out of the Paris Treaty was a good thing. So anytime he did something good, I would give him credit for it. But you have to have more than rhetoric. So, you know, does he have another chance? We'll see. I think the first indication of if he really is going to be different this time is who he picks as vice president. I don't make predictions, but if Trump holds true to what he usually does, he always crosses his MAGA base up, and they have to say he's playing 400 degree chess or whatever. And so I would almost expect him to pick Marco Rubio or Nikki Haley or Tim Scott, some really awful rhino, because that's typically the way he rolls. Now, I hope I'm wrong. If he picks Vivek Ramaswamy or Tulsi Gabbard or Tucker Carlson, Rand Paul, I'll say right on. Okay, he did something good. Because the idea is if this guy really is despised and he's already had one assassination attempt at him here, then you want to pick somebody that they'll think twice before assassinating you. But Vivek Ramaswamy is your vice president. You think, well, okay, I don't know if we want him president. But, you know, Marco Rubio, Nikki Haley, yeah, bring it on. That's like LBJ when he was JFK's vice president. You know, it wasn't a wise move to pick him either because it made it easy for the powers that be to knock him off. Okay, we're coming up on a break here, so we're going to take our first break. We'll be back, and we'll be talking to Chance of West Virginia when we get back. Stay tuned to the Power Hour.
Hi, this is Jay at the Power Mall. I thought I would discuss an item that's very valuable to my personal health and well-being. That product is called Curcumin X4000. Its potent antioxidant properties have been shown to decrease swelling and allow us to enjoy our golden years. Take control over your health today, guys. Order Curcumin by calling 877-817-9829 or order at thepowermall.com. That's thepowermall.com.
break the bond to Big Pharma. Hi, it's Joyce Riley with the Power Hour to tell you about the powerful benefits of Strauss Heart Drops. Many people today are locked into the routine of taking multiple prescription drugs. Strauss Herb Company believes that everything the body needs is provided by nature. Strauss Heart Drops may clear congested arteries, restore damaged muscle, maintain healthy cholesterol levels, and flush toxins and metals from the body. They may even be helpful in treating varicose veins. And unlike prescription drugs that are packed with chemicals, Strauss Heart Drops are 100% natural and harness the healing power of herbs like garlic, cayenne, white willow bark, and mistletoe. For the full line of Strauss products, I urge you to call the Power Hour at 877-817-9829. That's 877-817-9829. Or visit thepowermall.com. And remember, beware of knockoffs. Get the original. Get Strauss Heart Drops.
Power Hour is brought to you by thepowermall.com. Supercharge your life with only the best health, wellness, and readiness products. By choosing to purchase from us, you're directly supporting independent news media. Support small business and buy from the good guys.
For the past 20 years, the Power Mall has been a trailblazer, leading the way in providing our customers with only the best health, wellness, and readiness products. We have worked hand in hand, helping to grow many small businesses, and we continue to provide exceptional customer service, educating our customers so they can make informed purchases. You can shop with confidence, knowing that we have personally vetted every product that we offer. Your health and well-being means so much to us. We have championed voting with your dollars, and when you shop with the Power Mall, you are helping to keep ever so important and often censored health information in the forefront. Buy from the good guys. Shop thepowermall.com. That's thepowermall.com. Or call 877-817-9829.
Hi, this is Jay from the Power Mall. I'm here to talk with you today about one of our most powerful products that does not get enough recognition. That product is Blockbuster All Clear by Good Health Naturally. Blockbuster is a blend of proteolytic enzymes and antioxidants, which combine serrapeptase and natokinase with digestive enzymes, antioxidants, pine bark extract, and much more. The unique combination of these ingredients have been carefully selected to provide powerful support for a range of health conditions, with particular benefit to heart and cardiovascular. Kidney health is another area that benefits from targeted enzyme support, as there is a close link between cardiovascular system and kidney function. If you'd like to learn more about this powerful product, give me a call today, 877-817-9829, or visit thepowermall.com.
With inflation constantly chewing away at the value of paper money, perhaps it's time for Americans to bite back. Ownership of gold and silver coins provides great counterbalance to weaker paper money value. U.S. Coin Capital provides physical gold and silver coins. You can reach us directly at 1-800-878-2646, uscoincapital.com.
Hi, this is Linda from the Power Mall. I would like to tell you about a product that I personally take and recommend. I was very drawn to the Bone Active Topical Rub because I want to build healthy bones and prevent age-related bone loss, which so many of my friends have. Bone Active Oil contains three of the most potent mountain herbal oils known to man: sage, rosemary, and oregano. I rub it on my joints and on the bottom of my feet, and an added bonus is that it smells amazing. Not only is it potent by just rubbing it on the body, but also can be taken internally. Take advantage of the research. Use Bone Active Rubbing Oil and capsules to support a healthy overall bone density response. I'd love to talk with you more about this product. Call me at 877-817-9829 or learn more by visiting thepowermall.com.
And welcome back to the Power Hour. Donald Jeffries here, guest hosting today. Very honored. This is a lot of fun. I love hearing from you guys again. We'll keep our guest RB Ham is coming at the top of the next hour. So keep the phone calls coming. I love hearing from you. 844-769-2944. 844-769-2944. We have Chance in West Virginia who's been waiting patiently. Chance, how are you?
Yes, hello, Don. We get a double dose of you today. You're going to be on Jeff Rentz tonight also, right?
That's right. Hopefully people don't overdose on me, but yes, indeed.
Yeah, you know, and like Jeff Rentz says, they leave nothing to chance, right? I can't help but think this is a big mind screw psyop on the American people, and I'll tell you why. The timing of the Democrats throwing Biden under the bus and then finally admitting his senility after all this time,
yep.
Right? I mean, they knew Biden would look like an idiot at the debate, and he did, and Trump would dominate, right? So that's very suspicious for them to allow that to happen. That's number one. Number two, I heard there were two shooters, right? One was a Republican. The second one who escaped was an Antifa supporter. Is that correct?
I will talk about that. Yes, he's been thrown down the memory hole.
What's wrong with this picture? One's a Republican, one's an Antifa supporter. You know what I think, Don? I think that Trumpy Bear might have made a deal with the controllers to come back again and do some of their bidding this time. You know, maybe gun confiscation or to push more jabs. That's what I think.
Well, people have talked about the fact that apparently the Republican National Committee platform, their position on the Second Amendment has been watered down apparently before this. So will they use this? I mean, you know, Trump has a questionable record in this area anywhere about the bump stocks being banned and saying, what is it? First we take the guns and then we worry about the rights or something. You know, so he's not exactly, you know, people think of him as a strong Second Amendment supporter. I'm not so sure he falls into that category.
Me neither. And he called the vax a beautiful vax. Didn't he get something to that effect? Remember, it was beautiful. It's beautiful.
Oh, yes. And he wants people, he said, think of me.
When beautiful.
Yeah.
Thousands of people are dropping dead, but he says it's beautiful. I don't know. I don't believe any of this. Jeff Rentz, I think, hit the nail on the head. They don't leave nothing to chance.
Yeah, no, they don't. And it's, again, you can't help but, again, when you see some of the things, and before we get to, we have a caller coming, just hang in there, John. But before you go, I want to just talk about what you said here in my article. Here it is. Now, this originally, the shooter was not this three-namer. You know, I talk about three-namers because they have an affinity for referring to them as all three of their names.
Yeah, right.
The Butler Police Department, this is the initial report. It wasn't this guy Crooks.
Violet.
Yes. The Trump shooter has been arrested at the scene and has been identified as Mark Violet. It's only a two-namer.
Suspicious, too, when I first heard that. The first name, correct.
Yeah, prior to the shooting, Mark Violet's uploaded a video on YouTube claiming justice is coming. Now, I don't know what an assassin's supposed to look like, but he looks a lot more like an assassin than this guy to me, okay?
This is a big mind screw, I think, Don. That's all I got to say. This is to get people, and I wouldn't be surprised if Trumpy Bear makes Nikki Haley his running mate.
Yeah, could you see that on the screen? Maybe I wasn't sharing. I think I forgot to do sharing screen. Hold on a second. Let me just show people that. I forgot. I can still see it, but hold on a second. Just see what I'm talking. In case you didn't see this, this is the original shooter. This is what they said. This guy is Mark Violets, and they said he's been identified. This was the original reports. He uploaded a video on YouTube claiming justice is coming. See, he has he looks more like an assassin than this guy. This is the one Thomas. Now, he's Thomas Crooks in his yearbook, but he's Thomas Matthew Crooks when it comes to the assassination, because we always go with three namers. So, very interesting stuff. And that's just one of the many aspects of this, and nobody's talking about that. I'm surprised you know about violence, because I seem to be the only one
mentioning it. The day it happened, that's the first name I heard, and then I heard the name Crooks later, and I said, hey, wait a minute. They said his name was Violet. And then I find out he's an then I hear Antifa supporter. Then I heard the guy who they caught was a Republican. I said, oh, come on. Can't they do better than this? This is a mind screw, Don. That's what I think. Thank you for taking my call now.
Oh, thank you. I appreciate it. John in California, you're on the air.
Hey, how you doing, Mike? Can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you.
Okay, hey. You know, I just want to make a general comment. I mean, I think we're controlled economically, not politically. And I think people need to realize that, and that we, as a nation, have basically failed. Our time has run out. I hate to say that, but it's the truth. I think people need to understand the true nature of our economy, and they should understand the true origin and intent of the Federal Reserve that started on Jekyll Island. Everybody should read that book, Creature from Jekyll Island, or at least YouTube it.
Yes, sir.
Government has two archenemies. Excuse me. Government has two archenemies, capitalism and Christianity, and it does everything it can to destroy both. But we need to understand the true nature of capitalism, and I believe we could run society on capitalism, which is just as old, really, a developed science as the United States. And I'll end it there. Thank you.
Thanks for the call. Sorry you keep losing video. If people wonder, it's because I'm basically incompetent at this, I'm sure. And when I share the screen, I'm now realizing when I come back from sharing the screen that it doesn't bring the video back automatically. So in case you wondered where my mug went, there it is. We have a call from New York, Varen in New York. Welcome to the show.
Yeah, hi, Don. I think you recognize my name. I like reading your Substacks a lot. I'm just wondering, you know, what do you think are the biggest questions that need to be answered now? Because, I mean, obviously, with all the dots that need to be connected and everything that's left behind, like a trail for us, like breadcrumbs to follow, you know, I wonder, like, how much of this is being left deliberately, how much of it is, like, a distraction to throw us off. I mean, in your mind, what is the biggest question that needs to be answered now?
Well, I mean, there's lots of questions, but I call these things calling cards. And it goes back to, you know, I've researched the JFK assassination for almost 50 years now. You know, because I started out as a teenager, you know, with working with Mark Lane in the mid-70s. And it took me a long time. It took me decades to realize, wait a minute, you know, I've talked about the single bullet and the magic bullet and how it was in pristine condition. It didn't look like it hit anything. Now, wait a minute, why would I believe the CIA, the military-industrial complex, the Pentagon, all these powerful people were involved in the assassination. Why would they have planted a bullet that looked like it hit nothing? Wouldn't you have at least shot the bullet that you're going to plant into something so it looked like it struck something? But no, and I think they did that. It was an early example of what I call a calling card. They wanted people to know, yeah, of course this is impossible. We have pictures of our own ammunition in the Warren Commission records that shows if you shoot it into a ball of cotton, it looks more damaged, that kind of stuff. So same thing with 9-11. 9-11, the magical the passport of Muhammad Atta that just floated down magically on top of all the obliterated dust from metal and wood and all that stuff. This one survived. And again, that's a calling card. I think there's, you know, it's pretty obvious what that was. So in this case, lots of, you know, calling cards, but the one that jumps out the most about me to me is the iconic photo, because yeah, sure, the shooter, you know, climbing up the side of the building with the rifle and the witness is trying to alert the police to it and the police not doing anything. Well, that's pretty amazing. But when you have this is going to frame this event like the conga line of 10 students frame Sandy Hook. And, you know, a picture of an emaciated person frames concentration camps. And there's always some kind of picture that you remember the old a couple photos from Vietnam where these kids are running naked, screaming, and the guy's going to be shot in the head. They're iconic photos that come to represent bigger things, and they can be used and manipulated to try to get to people's emotions, to manipulate emotions. In this case, that photo is one of the most, you know, iconic photos I've ever seen, because again, he's rising up like a phoenix from the ashes. He's got blood on his face. His fist is pumping in defiance towards the sky. There's an American flag flying in the background. But there are a lot of problems with that photo. Yeah, I'd love to believe he's just an unbelievable, and maybe he certainly seems to be an incredibly strong 78-year-old guy. But I look at, again, the Secret Service performance today, and I analyze. Let me share that screen again to show people that photo again. Let's look here. So again, just look at this photo, and what are we seeing here? We're saying, okay, look at the Secret Service. There's nobody guarding his front. So if this lone nut is going to get off another shot, he's got a much better view now. Trump isn't blocked by a lectern. Doesn't even have his MAGA hat on. He's got a clear shot of his head. And nobody's in front. Nobody's blocking him. What is this guy doing back here? What is this? I don't know what he's doing. He's either hugging another agent or he's not hugging Trump. He's way behind Trump. What is he doing? These two, look at him. He couldn't look more disinterested. And there's the DEI hire that's kind of bent down. She's bent down, not Trump. Trump's actually shielding her more than she's shielding him. Well, obviously, now Trump, you can say he's bold and courageous. And he doesn't fear anything, but the Secret Service are supposed to be there. And as a narcissist, you can say, okay, he wanted to jump right up and show the people he was fighting the power. Okay, I could buy that, but then the Secret Service still need to do their job. They don't have to listen to Mr. President. They push him down. They shield him.
This is the calling card, huh? It's just how kind of obvious it seems that,
yes.
how exposed he is.
Yes, that would be, I think that would be my main calling card. Let me bring the video back here. Okay. That would be my main calling card there, because certainly the guy on the roof not being watched or anything is a big one too. But when you have a photo like that, that's going to frame this event. I mean, whenever anybody talks about the assassination attempt on Trump in the future, they'll use that picture, just like the one picture from Sandy Hook and a couple of pictures from Vietnam, a couple of them that are just chosen to describe the whole thing. They represent that. The Iwo Jima photo is liken that to the soldiers raising the flag on the Iwo Jima. It looked like that. Has that kind of thing with the flag in the background. So, yeah, I think it's a calling card, and people – I don't know what it means. And people saying, well, you're saying like the daughter of the guy, the fire chief that was shot is already on, which I find kind of strange, is she's already on Twitter and getting angry at people saying it didn't happen. I don't know that how many people are saying it didn't happen or people that's questioning. I don't question anything. I don't know the Sandy Hook or anything. I'm not saying anybody didn't die or anything. I'm just asking questions. And in this case, these are questions to ask. I haven't even studied his case at all, but I'm just looking at the situation and with Trump, and the Secret Service didn't do their job. At the very least, if this was if everything we're being told is true and this was a legitimate assassination attempt, then those agents should all be fired immediately. But we saw what happened to the JFK assassination. None of those agents did their job, and they sat there for 6 seconds while JFK got his head blown off. They didn't react at all to the sound of gunfire. Driver William Greer, the driver, who should have been the first person questioned in any real investigation, because the 59 people said he stopped the limo. And that's why people think a lot of the film is altered, because it doesn't quite show a stop. It does show the brake lights coming on, but at the very least, he slowed down, which, again, violates protocol.
Yeah, and he speculated that it could have been like a drill that the agents were under. They thought they were like practicing for something. That's why none of them reacted. And then maybe Clint Hill noticed too late. And then, that's why he started running.
Yeah, I think that's the only explanation. That's giving them the benefit of the doubt and not assuming that they're, willing to, participate, stand down for murder. I give them the benefit of the doubt. They were told it was a drill, because in a case like that, and then an actual assassination happens, and you realize nobody's talking about it. I mean, so what are you supposed to do as an agent? Say, wait a minute, we were told. They know. They immediately knew if that was the case. Okay, we can't talk about this, because obviously this was we were lied to, so we would stand down. But that's giving them the benefit of the doubt. I don't really know, but all I know is that they didn't do their job. In this case here, I don't know. It just looks so clumsy, because in the JFK case, they were nowhere near JFK. They just stood there and they kind of looked around in a daze and didn't respond to gunfire. Here, they did respond, but how did they respond? What are you doing, bringing the guy up and putting him in a better position to be hit than he was before? I mean, again, at the very least, they should be questioning, who are these people? What was the Secret Service agent in the back doing, hugging himself or hugging another agent? Why was the DEI hire ducking down instead of Trump? Trump should have been ducked down under her and the other guy. They should have been shielding him. The idea is, and I wouldn't want
that raises the question of compartmentalization, because I mean, the way that some of these events can be pulled off is that, you know, everybody has need to know. They have a different understanding of what their role is, or maybe they're following like a stand out or a limited order. But I think it's one of the hardest things. But I think when you look across the whole case, it almost seems like, I don't know, whoever, like, they're just like picking apart like the popular points in these cases, you know, like the three name shooter, the loner, it's almost like they're making like this big collage of everything that's popular in like the legend of like assassination attempts, and they're just putting it together as a collage, almost like to make us think this was some kind of deep state thing, even though maybe it wasn't. So I don't know. I think that's interesting, and I mean, I feel like it's kind of suspect in this today's day and age that we would have something like this, because I mean, that age is kind of over now. I mean, the last big one was, like, what, Reagan in 81? And I think you actually wrote about that the Reagan attempt might have been to kind of warn him, like, you know, stay in line. And maybe it was, like, Bush Sr. running the show, and that was a way of kind of, like, you know, putting him in his place. But do you think that could be, like, a possibility?
Well, it happened in March of 81, and that was right at the beginning of Reagan's administration. And if it was a warning, it worked. Because Reagan didn't cut a single sub-agency of government. The big government guy didn't cut down the size of government at all, not one iota. And in fact, he raised taxes on everyone, especially Social Security tax, except for the very wealthy. He cut the top rates dramatically from like 72% to 28%. Everybody else's rate went up, especially the lower classes. And he raised Social Security taxes, which are disproportionately affect the poor and the working class. And he also subjected Social Security taxes to a tax, a double tax, which we are still seeing today. And no one talks about that, a double tax. And I'm finding that out now, if you make a certain amount of money, it's not very much, then your Social Security earnings, which are taxes that were withheld from you and you're being paid back incrementally, you get taxed on them again. It's a double tax. No one is talking about that, the left or the right. And it's horrible. But that's the legacy Reagan left, the real legacy. I mean, the Immigration Reform Act, he did nothing about that at all. He opened the barn door forever. So I'm not a fan of Reagan. But you're right, if he had been sincere, and we don't know, and somebody told me, David Lifton, the late David Lifton, a very prominent JFK researcher, wrote Best Evidence in 1981, he told me that Reagan was a real JFK assassination buff. And in fact, kept books about the assassination on his bed table, nightstand in the White House. And I don't know if that's true or not. If so, maybe he got the message loud and clear right as soon as he got in office.
Wow, it's amazing. What can we expect in Hidden History 3 about like Trump and Stein project?
Well, I'm not going to – Hidden History 3, which is the American Memory Hole. For some reason, my publisher doesn't like me using the numbers. So it's the third volume of Hidden History, but it's called American Memory Hole, How the Court Historians Promote Disinformation. It's coming out the end of August, but it's out there for pre-sale now. I won't address Trump or Trumpenstein in that, because it's too big a – and I'm doing the research and writing that now. That'll be Hidden History 4, or it may be a book – to itself, especially after this. Obviously, I haven't even begun writing about the assassination attempt and whatever else happens. I have no idea. Is there going to be a second term as president? Only the second time in American history where a president had a non-consecutive two terms in office. Grover Cleveland's the only other one. That obviously adds a lot of information. So he may end up getting his own book. I'm not sure about that. And we'll see. But I'm keeping track of it and trying to there's a lot to remember. That's the thing of it. And thank goodness for researchers Chris Graves and Peter C. Kosh, who have helped me out so much. And they send me, and other people do as well, but they send me a lot of information. I couldn't do it without them, because a lot of this stuff I forget. And whether it's, you know, Trump or anyone, these things get forgotten and things come so rapidly. I have to write them down, or somebody has to remind me of it before I forget, and I still end up forgetting some stuff because they're rapid firing this stuff. You know, they're coming one PSYOP after another.
I look forward to it. Thanks, Don. I enjoyed talking today.
Thanks, Baron. I appreciate it. Okay, the phone lines are open still, 844-769-2944. They'll be open in the second hour with our guest, R.B. Hamm, as well, 844-769-2944. So, again, we don't, if you want to call about anything else, that's fine. You know, we don't have to talk about the Trump assassination attempt, but I just assume that seems to be what's on everybody's mind. So, it makes a lot of sense to do that, but certainly the convention, I guess Republican convention is coming up here with tomorrow or something. So, and Trump is is going to miraculously be there. I mean, the guy, he said he was playing golf the next day. I mean, I don't know that I've seen anybody recover as quickly from an assassination attempt ever in the history of the world. I don't know how Teddy Roosevelt, I guess, recovered pretty rapidly too, but I don't think he was even injured. His 50-page speech blocked it, supposedly, in his pocket. But this is it's amazing stuff. And Trump, whatever else you say about Trump, Trump never ceases to be interesting. So if you follow it, there's always something going on. And what makes it fascinating is the fact that everybody in the establishment hates him. And then he frustrates because he'll say great stuff. Trump says great. He tweeted a real strong game in his first term. If he had governed like he tweeted, he would have been like George Washington. Coming up on a break here, so we'll take a break and we'll be right back after these words.
Harmful organisms are everywhere affecting your health and well-being. Fortunately, there's a solution. Paratrax is a unique formula designed to help create an environment that's hostile to invading organisms. Made with a blend of herbs and other natural ingredients such as wormwood, which has often been used in traditional medicine as a dewormer. If unwanted organisms are affecting your health, Paratrax can help bring it all back in balance. Order today from thepowermall.com or call 877-817-9829. Are you tired of trying to figure out how to get all your fruits and vegetables into your busy lifestyle? OptiVita Complete Essentials provides you with 22 whole food vitamins and minerals, 29 fruits and vegetables, probiotics, antioxidants, and botanicals for ultimate health and nutrition. 30 individual packs, now less than $3 per day. Get your OptiVita Complete Essentials by calling 877-817-9829. Or order online at thepowermall.com.
The Power Hour is brought to you by thepowermall.com. Supercharge your life with only the best health, wellness, and readiness products. By choosing to purchase from us, you're directly supporting independent news media. Support small business and buy from the good guys. The Power Hour is an independent radio show. We are funded by people who appreciate our work, not by ads or algorithms. Your support is key to the continuation of this broadcast. To show your support so that we can continue to bring you unbiased information that is now more vital than ever, please visit thepowerhour.com and click Support Us. You can also place a donation by phone by calling 877-817-9829. We thank you for any amount of support that you're able to give.
Boost your immune system naturally this year with oil of oregano, a potent germ killer. This is the true wild oregano oil P73, a blend of edible spices of wild oregano grown on natural mineral-rich soils. Research published in the International Journal of Food Microbiology found that oil of oregano is an excellent germicide capable of killing a wide range of fungi and bacteria. Get it today by visiting thepowermall.com or calling 877-817-9829.
Thank you.
break the bond to Big Pharma. Hi, it's Joyce Riley with the Power Hour to tell you about the powerful benefits of Strauss Heart Drops. Many people today are locked into the routine of taking multiple prescription drugs. Strauss Herb Company believes that everything the body needs is provided by nature. Strauss Heart Drops may clear congested arteries, restore damaged muscle, maintain healthy cholesterol levels, and flush toxins and metals from the body. They may even be helpful in treating varicose veins. And unlike prescription drugs that are packed with chemicals, Strauss Heart Drops are 100% natural and harness the healing power of herbs like garlic, cayenne, white willow bark, and mistletoe. For the full line of Strauss products, I urge you to call the Power Hour at 877-817-9829. That's 877-817-9829. Or visit thepowermall.com. And remember, beware of knockoffs. Get the original. Get Strauss Heart Drops.